Father God, we thank you for this wonderful woman. We thank you that she has looked to you for the words that she needs to bring this morning. And we thank you those words will bring life. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless her, that you'd fill her with your spirit now, that she would know your anointing as she speaks. And we pray for our hearts, that they would be open and receptive to hear. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you act with precision. So we pray we'd have hearts to hear what you want to say to us this morning, and that we, through it, we might know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rachel.
Be all right. Is that better? That's better. Now, just excuse me a moment. I'm just going to adjust the music sound. I always seem to do this. Good morning, everyone. If I've not met you before, I'm Deborah, and it's lovely to see you. We are continuing our series this month called The Holy Spirit, looking at the Holy Spirit. Now, Rob Scott Cook was with us last week, and he started us off of our series talking about the day of Pentecost, which we can read about in Acts chapter 2. When God poured out his Holy Spirit on his people and the church was started. If you didn't, if you weren't with us last week, if you missed Rob's talk, then I just encourage you to go on our website and listen. It was a really great talk. And because we heard how God filled each of the early followers of Jesus with his Holy Spirit to overflowing, enabling them to speak courageously about Jesus. And the Bible explains that all of them started speaking in tongues. And that speaking in tongues is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk in our Holy Spirit series. The next thing we're going to talk about is the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. So we're going to read from the Apostle Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. So that's 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12. And we're starting at verse 4. Now you can either read it in your Bibles or on your phone, or you could just follow along on the screen if you'd like to. So 1 Corinthians 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. So what Paul was saying here is that the Holy Spirit gives everybody gifts. Now, these gifts, these spiritual gifts, are supernatural abilities given by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of serving God and others. In a similar way that when we are born naturally, we have received natural gifts. We're good at things that we just sort of spend our life sort of discovering what those natural gifts are. Maybe you're sporty. Maybe you are great at sort of making things, and maybe you're great at fixing things. But when we are born again as Christians, then we receive spiritual gifts. Both are gifts from God. As Christians, we believe that God designed each of us perfectly for his purpose and pleasures. So he puts those natural gifts in us when we are being knitted together in our mother's womb, the Bible says. But natural gifts reveal our human ability, whereas spiritual gifts reveal God's supernatural ability. So what we read about in this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, it's not a complete list of spiritual gifts. There are other gifts of encouragement and teaching and so on, which we can read about in Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. But what these verses are saying is God gives every single follower of Jesus gifts, not just one gift, but lots of gifts. Now, if you have been around church for a little while, you might have come across the idea of a message of knowledge. This one here, that was a message of knowledge. Or we would probably more likely refer to it as a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge. And this is where God gives some information or knowledge that the person has no earthly way of knowing. Just give me a second. There we go. So I remember when a few years ago, I was praying for a student. And I didn't really know her. I didn't know anything about her at all. But as I was praying for her, I just knew that she was a medical student. You know, no one had told me that. And there were no visible clues. She didn't have a stethoscope around her neck or anything. But for some reason, when I was praying, I was like, I just know she's a medical student. But I thought, as a word of knowledge, that didn't seem very helpful. Because if she was a medical student, she probably already knew that about herself. You'd hope, at least. And I was thinking, not sure what else. But it was all I had to share with her, really. So I did, and I told her that. And she was actually really encouraged. She was really encouraged because she explained that she hadn't achieved the grades that she'd originally needed to get onto a medical course. And so she'd had to do an extra year of study. She had to do an extra course. And she felt like she'd got on this medical school course by the back door. She didn't feel like she really belonged. She felt like everyone was better than her. But God telling her that she was a medical student, it just felt like she knew that God knew her. God knew her. He knew how she was feeling about this. He affirmed her that she was meant to be doing what she was doing. So when we share words of knowledge with people, I think the main response people who are hearing it have is, gosh, God knows me. He knows what's going on in my life. He cares about me. They feel seen. They feel cared about. You know, when words of knowledge are shared in a group, it can prompt people to be brave and ask for prayer. And when it's shared with an individual, it can increase someone's faith to receive prayer. And for the person who's praying, it increases their faith too. A couple of months ago, on a Sunday service, I think it was the 9:30 service here, Ed shared a word of knowledge that God had given him about someone having pain in their left hip. And he just said, if anybody has got pain in their left hip, then to ask for prayer. And one of our Alpha guests were here, and she had often had pain in her left hip when she was running or walking long distances. So sort of quite reluctantly, she admits, she asked for prayer. She came to the prayer team and asked for prayer, and Rachel prayed for her. And she didn't think any more about it. And then two or three weeks later, she suddenly realised she was on a long walk, and she realised she hadn't actually felt any pain when she'd been running over those 2 weeks or walking at all. You know, that God had healed her, and since that time when she was prayed for. Now, it wasn't a natural ability that meant Ed had this information about someone with a pain. And it wasn't a natural ability that meant Rachel could heal anyone. It wasn't anything in themselves. but they were exercising spiritual, supernatural gifts through God's Holy Spirit. You know, and these were abilities that we see time and time again in the ministry of Jesus. He often knew things about people that he had no natural way of knowing. And he healed people in miraculous ways, whether the blind could see or the lame were made to walk or even the dead raised to life again. And when we use these spiritual gifts given by God's Holy Spirit, it's like we're putting Jesus on display for others to see what he's still doing in people's lives. As I said, gifts of knowledge and hearing, healing are probably the most common seen in our services. And we can see, in just even in this example of the pain in the hip, of Jesus bringing healing, how different gifts interlink, like word, gifts of the word of knowledge and of healing working together. And the idea of a church community is that we're all meant to use our gifts. They complement one another. In the next part of our 1 Corinthians 12 passage, Paul goes on to talk about how the church is like a body, all working together, all various parts of a body working together. But I think sometimes we can be hesitant around spiritual gifts. You know, perhaps you've prayed in the past to receive a spiritual gift and you just felt that nothing had happened. Or maybe you've stepped out and tried to use a spiritual gift and you felt like it just went a bit wrong. I remember one time sharing a picture I felt I had for someone, and we're in a sort of group setting, and it just didn't resonate with them. But they and the rest of the group started this big, long discussion, asking for more information about it and debating over this picture for the rest of the day. And I was just thinking, I think I've just got it wrong, but they just wouldn't drop it. Those times can put us off pursuing spiritual gifts. You know, these gifts might also feel a little bit strange. I remember having a conversation about spiritual gifts with someone a while back, and she said that she didn't think they were a good idea because they were so powerful. She didn't feel that God would entrust such powerful and therefore potentially dangerous gifts to humans. And to some degree, she was right to be cautious, because God works these gifts through human beings with all their mixed motives and unwholeness. So spiritual gifts can be open to be manipulated. That's even the case for the less controversial ones, like, you know, think of the damage that can be done by false teaching or deceptive administrators. And perhaps you, like the person I've just mentioned, tempted not to use spiritual gifts, not to pursue them. You know, some of the early Christians also felt this way. It was tempting to not use these messy gifts. That's why Paul had to say things like, do not forbid speaking in tongues, do not quench the spirit, and do not treat prophecies with contempt. But these instructions are relevant for us as church today too. Further in the chapter we've just read, Paul says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. In chapter 14, he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. You know, spiritual gifts can unlock the work of Jesus in people's lives. Someone was telling me this week how a prophetic word he had shared with someone a while back unlocked some spiritual healing from a painful past experience. That they were with an older man, and God had very clearly put a picture in their minds of the advert for Werther's Originals. And they were a bit worried about sharing it. I think they, you know, perhaps they didn't want it to be taken as a statement about this other person's age. And so they asked God, are you sure? Are you sure this is a word from you? Or am I just hungry? But they felt that God wanted to do something around the person's relationship with father figures, specifically their dad and their granddad. And so they eventually worked up the courage to speak it out. And the gentleman burst into tears. And then they could just have this conversation and this prayer time that was really sort of praying in God's Father heart into this person. It clearly was a prophetic word that unlocked some hurt from the past and allowed God to bring healing and freedom. You know, spiritual gifts can be powerfully good, especially when we're helping others find out about Jesus. There's something in all of us that longs for a spiritual connection. Maybe you're here today and you wouldn't necessarily call yourself a Christian, but you feel like you're searching for a spiritual experience. There's evidence that there's a growing openness in this time of people towards experiencing spiritual experiences and a longing to be connected to something beyond themselves. But as Christians, we believe we can be connected, not just with something, but with someone beyond ourselves. God is with us by the power and presence of his Holy Spirit. We don't just think about him. We don't just believe a bunch of ideas about God, but we also believe we can encounter him in a tangible way through his Holy Spirit. We believe that he interacts with us personally. He moves through us and through others in spiritual gifts. And that we can encounter the real living God in a supernatural and powerful way through his Holy Spirit. Yes, spiritual gifts are crucially important in sharing the good news of Jesus with others. I know people here for whom spiritual experience was really important in the start of their faith journey. Now, during our most recent Alpha course, we had a brilliant time during the session, Does God Heal Today? And I've asked Laura and Jill and Toby just to tell us a bit what happened to each of them. So they're feeling a bit nervous. So that was really good to give them a round of applause. So the session, Does God Heal Today? We shared a few words of knowledge with the guests. We said, well, you know, we've been listening to God. We feel like maybe these are some things that God wants to heal for people today. So Laura, what happened?
So I was informed that somebody in the room had a problem with their index finger and the right index finger. So I looked at Rosie, my very good friend, who knows very well about my index finger. So I had quite a bad accident at work, which involved a cat, and it bit me quite badly, and I ended up in hospital. And spent a few days there with my bent index finger, and then eventually my hand healed, but sadly my index finger remained sort of crooked and bent and didn't really do anything. And it actually became a running joke that nobody ever knew what I was pointing at, and also became known as the claw. So eventually I tried steroids, I tried all sorts of bits and bobs to try and fix it. And then I kind of accepted that was it. The finger was here to stay. I'm going to live with it. Yeah. So we went back to our group, and I excitedly told everyone that, oh, I've got this finger problem. So I got paired up with Jill, and myself and Jill went off to pray together. And during prayer, I felt a bit sick, actually, at one point, and a bit overwhelmed and a bit hot. And Jill had gently hold of my finger, and before I knew it, the finger was pulsing in Jill's hand. And I thought, you know, am I thinking? And up to this moment, I've never had any feeling in it since the accident. Mm. So me and Jill sat and we prayed and we had a little cry and then we had a cuddle and then we returned back to the group and I really excitedly told everybody that I've got this weird feeling. I woke up the next day thinking, was that a dream? Is it gone back to being bent? But it's actually not.
And I can Let's point, have a look. Yeah, show us.
I can point my finger. just want to say thank you to Jill. It was amazing. We shared such a special moment together with God, didn't we?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Brilliant. And Jill, for you, what, you know, have you had lots of experiences of praying for healing for people before?
No, it was my first time.
we prayed for her healing for her voice this morning already. But so how did you feel about that?
Well, having experienced healing myself, I was like, I know God can do it. Mm-hmm. So I just asked her if she wanted me to hold her finger or not. Mm-hmm. So I did, and basically the way I started praying was just acknowledging God for who he is, and because I know he can do it. And then just started praying, and it started to get warm. And you said you could feel it pulsating. I couldn't at that point. So I just kept praying, and then I started to feel the middle bit pulsating. Carried on praying, and then the whole finger was pulsating and getting warm. So, it was about praising God then for what he'd done.
Great. So, Laura, you were obviously encouraged by your finger, and that God knew, like I said before, that God knew that, you know, there was something, there was you know, knew you.
Yes.
And Jill, praying for Laura and seeing that healing, how did you feel?
Incredibly humbled, actually. Because the fact that God would use me to do that. And, I mean, it was obviously he's doing nothing to do with me. I just took that risk in praying. And so I would encourage anybody to just take that risk.
Yeah.
Because God can do it.
Brilliant.
He just needs a vessel to use.
Yeah. And so, Toby, you were the one who had the word of knowledge. Yeah. So I sort of put out a little ask on our prayer WhatsApp, our Alpha Prayer WhatsApp. There's about 45 people on there. Just, you know, you listen to God for any words of knowledge. Nothing. Nobody texted me back. So just as I was about to go out to Alpha, I said to Toby, you're about to go on a run. Ask God if he's got anything that he wants to say. And then you texted me a little bit later, but tell us what happened.
Yeah, so earlier in the day, actually, before I knew anything about this healing event, I was just walking home from school, just along Shampton Road, walking past Highgrove. And as I was walking past, I had a thought about someone's right index finger. I was walking past someone at the time. I was a bit scared that I would have to come up to this person and say, is your right index finger okay? I didn't, but thankfully not, but... Yeah, so after Mum had told me that, it was an Alpha healing night, I prayed over that right index finger thought, and I thought, yeah, may as well share it. But I was a bit hesitant, because usually it would be a bit more safe if you got something like a knee or a shoulder, but something so specific like a right index finger did not fill me with a lot of confidence. But
We weren't edging our bets, were we?
No.
And Toby, has God spoken to you like that lots before?
Never. Nope. No, so it was the first time, which is so encouraging, really. The last few months before that time, I had spent a lot of time praying and working with people around me and kind of, you know, receiving the gifts of the Spirit and hearing from God, and just felt nothing, so much time praying to that. And the one time when I'm not actually praying about that, God goes, ooh. Right index finger. So encouraging there.
Brilliant. Let's give these guys a round of applause. Thank you. Yeah, what I love about that experience is God didn't use people who were really experienced in this, but it was one of the first times for Jill and Toby. So I hope you feel inspired by that. But this week I asked God, what did he want to say to us this morning? And I'm very aware that we're running out of time. But I had a picture of in my mind of gardening tools inside wrapping paper. And I feel like God wants to say to us that, sometimes we can think of spiritual gifts as an extra thing, not really necessary, a nice to have, not really essential.
But I think he was trying to say that they're not extra, they're not frivolous, they're really useful gift, and he wants us to receive them and unwrap them and put them into use. And I also felt like God was saying that these gifts are for our church, for Highgrove, to help us in a new season that he's bringing us into, a season of growth where these gifts will be really important. So, whether the idea of spiritual gifts is a bit new to you or whether you've experienced them in the past, the best place to learn and practice is in community. It's community with others, whether it's one or two friends or midweek small groups are really perfect places to practice, to learn from one another, to sometimes get it wrong and to try again. But I thought, even now, just in the last few minutes, we're going to spend a little bit of time just receiving from God and just asking him for any words of knowledge, just like we've been hearing about today. So I'm just going to ask the band to come up on the stage, so it's just slightly less disruptive if we want to worship in a moment. We're gonna just, if you're up for this, if you're willing to just give it a try, why don't you stand with me? And maybe you just want to put your hands out to receive, just as a physical sign that you're ready to receive from God. And we're just gonna ask him to give us something for someone else in this room. So maybe pick a person, and we're gonna in a moment we're gonna pray, and if you feel like you've got something for them at the end of our service, just encourage you to go up to them, share it. Now God is only gonna give us messages that are in line with what the Bible says. It's not gonna be something that contradicts Scripture. The Bible tells us that when we share messages from God, they're for strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So we want to be careful in the way that we share. We do it gently and humbly, because we can all get it wrong. So we're going to ask God's Holy Spirit to come now and fill each one of us. So come, Holy Spirit, will you fill us now? Will you release the gifts of your Spirit to us? Please speak to us today.